Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm a local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. Thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your television entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you a need for God in your life, that you have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please come and be with us for our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We also have a website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these TV programs, MP3 files of these radio broadcasts, and a host of other Bible-related material. Please check it out. Let us know what you think. We have been dealing for the last few months the subject of sin. Today we're going to begin a new discussion of that subject, and we're going to talk about the doctrine of sin concerning the confession of sin. The Book of Common Prayer, which is used by the Church of England, acknowledges the importance of confessing sins. The Scripture moves us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness. We have erred and strayed from the ways like lost sheep. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and have done those things which we ought not to have done. This comes from the American Revision of 1938. These principles were not founded by the Church of England. These principles predated Christ and the establishing of His Church. For God has always insisted upon open, frank, and sincere confession of wrongs by people who are seeking to please Him. These were required before a trespass offering could be given, if you would care to read in Numbers chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. And let us read those scriptures, Numbers chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Speak to the children of Israel, when a man or woman commits any sin that men commit in unfaithfulness against the Lord, and that person is guilty, then he shall confess the sin which he has committed. He shall make restitution for his trespass in full plus one-fifth of it, if give it to the other one he has wronged. Notice in verse 7, he must confess it. The very mention of confession of sins elicits numerous questions provoked in earnest discussion and brings to the forefront matters of concern for brethren to wrestle with. What is confession? What must one confess? To whom must the confession be made? How specific must one's confession be? Is it possible for one to confess sins about which he is ignorant? How widely should one confess his private or public sins? Has the practice of confessing sins before the assembly or the church been abused? These are the questions that we will endeavor to answer as we go along in our topic, and with some others that may be asked, and occupy our minds as we discuss this vital subject. We endeavor to address a few of these. In the New Testament, God requires that an erring child repent, confess, and pray for forgiveness of sins committed. Let me give you some passages that we want to read. In Luke 23:34, as Jesus hung upon the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divide his garments and cast lots. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, after the first gospel sermon, and they asked men and brethren, what shall we do? They were told to repent and to be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. In Acts chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, Acts chapter 3, verse 17 through verse 19, we read, Ye know, brethren, that you did it in ignorance, as did your rulers. But these things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, and your sins may be blotted out, that the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse number 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse number 8, which none of the rulers of this age knew, For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In Acts chapter 8, when Simon the sorcerer tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, he was told to repent, that the thought of his heart might be forgiven him, for he was in the bond of the bondage of iniquity and the gall of bitterness. And in verse 24 of Acts 8, he asked Peter to pray for him. 1 John 1, verse 9, it says, if we will confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. In James 5, 16, it says, to confess your faults one to another, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Notice the language. This is thy wickedness, not just general wickedness. Confess your faults, not just that we have many of them. Confess your sins, not just what that we have sinned or we may have sinned. We must look at the scriptures from which to draw out the spiritual conclusions for the answers about confession. What is there about sin and its confession which hinders confession in many? Is it easier to confess sins in a general way than getting down to the details? Some things are easy for men to confess, others quite the contrary. Why? Well, we will endeavor to see. A brief historical view of confession. Confession has been a must for those seeking God's pardon, a norm from the time of Moses to our time in the Christian realm. The emphasis in the teaching of the scriptures has been on confession as an act of contrite, of a contrite heart and a penitent spirit, not the formal act of confessions. Those who confess and forsake their sins will prosper. That's what the wise man Solomon wrote in Proverbs 28:13. We see the full extent under the gospel for us is willingness to acknowledge one's sins than trying to conceal them. God may have been attempting to give Cain a chance to confess his sin when he asked him where his brother was in Genesis 4 and verse 9. Under the law of Moses, a confession of sin was required along with the offering. Even the sins of ignorance had to be confessed once they became known, according to Leviticus 5, 1 through 5. David prayed for God's word to reveal his sin to him so he could acknowledge them, Psalms 19, verse 12. The high priest confessed the people's sin over the scapegoat on the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16, verse 21. And confession also accompanied restitution in certain cases, and we read that earlier in Numbers chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. The Psalms of David clearly reflect what is required as one confesses sin. One must be totally frank and honest about the sin in their life. Consider David's confession of his sin with Bathsheba. Read Psalms 32, verse 5, and Psalms 51, verse 3 and 4. Next, consider the preaching of John the Baptist. We cannot tell how specific their confessions of sins were. The confession of sin accompanied their baptism. According to Matthew 3, verse 6 through 8, confession of sin is part of the gospel for the Christians. Many saints in Ephesus openly confessed their sins in Acts 19, verse 18. Confession of sin is commanded as a condition of forgiveness, as we read in James 5, 16, and also in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. 1 John 1, verse 8 through 10. Excuse me. A confession of sin is an admission of guilt. When we sin, we miss the mark, James 5, 16. In this passage, seen as a means of edification in one's relationship to their brethren. Confessing in this passage is not the only way one is pardoned. Having conscience cleansed, the means to enlist the assistance of brethren in prayer for the sinner's spiritual healing. The latter passage, a confession of sin, particular sinful deeds, stands in contrast with the denial of sin and committing sin. An essential part of walking in the light, according to the text, this affects one's fellowship with God. We can't walk in the light if we're walking in darkness. God will not have fellowship with us if we're not walking in the light, and if we're walking in darkness, we're alienated from Him. Meaning of some key words. Sin, that means missing the mark. A fault, a trespass, going beyond. 1 John 3, verse 4. Confession. The word means agreeing to an affirmation or a charge confirming the receipt of something, agreeing or submitting to a proposal, agreeing to a wish or promise. Bynes says, to confess by the way of admitting oneself guilty is one who's accused of, and the result is an inward conviction wanting to make it right. That comes from the word used in 1 John 1, verse 9. Admit the truth of the accusation. The Hebrew word yada, used in Psalms 32 and verse 5 and also Leviticus 16:21, stresses chiefly the ideal of making known the sin to God instead of hiding it or trying to ignore it. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says, a change of conviction or a course of conduct, to declare openly by the way of speaking out freely, such as being a deep conviction to the facts of their sinful conduct. Matthew 7, verse 23, and also chapter 10, verse 32. This cannot be just a mere expression of some supposed guilt, but rather the knowing of one's guilt and the willingness to repent of it, turn from it, and confess it, that God can forgive it. Let's look at the concept and practice of confession. The concept of confession applies several things, ladies and gentlemen. The first presupposition is that sin is real and it's not imaginary. Second is that individuals can be and are guilty of sin. Number three, the fact that we confess sin means that they are not already forgiven, as Calvin taught. This denies the impossibility of apostasy. In other words, all sins, past, present, and future, were not forgiven in advance at the time of one's conversion. There is a divine requirement that one guilty of sin must confess that sin in order to have it remedied. It is possible for one to know his sins. God has created man and knows his needs entirely. Direct him to confess his sin should be sufficient motivation for man to comply with God's will in that request. Satan has swayed some from believing this is so. Satan has convinced him to doubt that sin doesn't actually exist. How does he arrive at that? He has no idea how he arrives at it, because it's false. Some people attempt to offer substitutes for confession. Marriage is replaced by living together or adultery. The Lord's church by human-made organizations. Homosexuality as an alternate lifestyle. And abortion, not murder, is pro-life. They offer some good deeds, such as liberal giving, as a substitute for their confession. But Reformation life is lacking. Others try to separate themselves by time and distance from the sin, therefore thinking God will forget it and overlook it. Still others depend on the forgetfulness of others as a substitute to have to confess the wrong. Some people rely on their popularity to override the need for them to confess anything. And last, even a second baptism is preferred over a sincere confession of wrongdoing and all men's concepts, but none of them are scriptural. Everything I just told you has no basis of scripture to sustain such an argument. Such understanding about confession miss the mark and are not according to God's will. Such thinking will get us into trouble, will keep us in our sin, will alienate us from God, and will separate us from God, because he will have no fellowship while we continue to live in and remain in sin. And so we must have a proper understanding of what it means to confess according to God's will and not men. Thank you for listening. We hope you tune in again next Sunday as we continue our discussion of confession.